Welcome to Newt Education with Isha and Danny.
Sarah, welcome to the Newt Ed podcast. How are you going today?
So well. Thank you for having me.
Maybe for all our listeners who don't know who you are, could you maybe give people a little bit of a rundown about, what you do and how you help women's health out there?
I'm a grey area drinking coach, and a lot of people have not heard of the term grey area drinking. So maybe that's a good place for me to start. Yeah. As well as being a grey area drinking coach, I'm a health and wellbeing coach. I'm a menopause coach. I am a best-selling author of the book Beyond Booze. And I'm also a keynote speaker. So I do a lot of talks in corporates on the impact of alcohol on mental wellbeing and on how to basically create and live your best life. So going back to grey area drinking, when we historically have talked about someone's alcohol use, it's generally been you're an alcoholic or you're not. Mm-hmm. And most of us consider the stereotype alcoholic to mean, it's someone that drinks in the morning. It's someone that drinks every day. It's someone that maybe they're homeless, maybe they've lost their job. They have trembling hands when they wake and they're drinking out of a brown paper bag, hard liquor all day. And that is one stereotype that I think has been created by the media, by films, by Hollywood. I think alcohol use disorder is the term that is now used in the healthcare system. And that can be mild, moderate, or severe, because there isn't a set amount that goes one day you're a social drinker and one day you're an alcoholic. There is no definition of that. But we can think of alcohol use disorder as being, generally it's anything over 14 units a week. So that's about 8 glasses of wine a week. And anything above that would be classified at the early part of that mild alcohol use disorder. Then it goes to moderate and then it goes to severe. So grey area drinking would be that mild to moderate alcohol use. So we are not at end stage physical dependency where we need to have rehab or medical support to stop drinking. But we have developed an perhaps unhealthy relationship with alcohol. So we notice it's the thing that we turn to as soon as we're stressed, as soon as we're angry, as soon as we're pissed off with our partner, as soon
after
as we're
a hard day at work because we're tired.
Right? And it's just like, I need a drink. Or we see it as a reward. It's like, I deserve it. It's Friday. I've had a hard week. And if you're having one or two drinks and you can stop and you don't want any more and you're doing that a couple of times a week, then you are in that kind of unicorn category of people that, don't. And it sounds like you might be there, Danny, of people that don't have that relationship with alcohol. But what I'm finding with the majority of women I work with, because I do mostly work with women, is they've passed that point of just being take it or leave it. And they're definitely starting to use alcohol and depend on it a little bit more, but they don't reach that classic definition of addiction or physical dependency. So it's that kind of gray area. And that's where I was for years and years and years. And I stopped drinking 5.5 years ago and changed my life. And that's when I retrained to become a gray area drinking coach. And since then, I've supported thousands and thousands of people all over the world to change their relationship with alcohol and start living their best lives.
Yeah. So making that change for a lot of people, like you said, identifying if their drinking is an issue or something like that is really hard to do. And then actually making that change. Can you maybe, tell me some things that some benefits you've seen in your life since you made those changes, or other women might see and other people might see in general, that they might not know about, besides having a hangover in the morning or something like that, having a late night snack because they, get the munchies. What are some other benefits they might see?
Yeah. And I think that, you've hit the nail on the head there where you say, like, most people don't even realize that they might fall into that category, because I think alcohol is the most kind of celebrated drug that we have in our society. And it's kind of expected that you have it at every celebration, commiseration, wedding, funeral, birthday, engagement, it's Friday, just whatever the day of the week kind of thing. And so for me, the warning signs, I'll share those first and then I'll share the benefits. So the warning signs for me were sleep. So it got to the point where every time I was drinking, I was waking up at, not every time, most times, 2 or 3 in the morning, couldn't get back to sleep, tossing and turning, maybe had a bit of a sweat on, feeling a little bit anxious, overthinking things. And that started to really happen quite a lot. And I was, as a result of that, I was feeling really tired. And I noticed that my motivation and my drive was really waning. I'm quite a motivated, passionate person, and I really started to that can't be arseitis, you know, just like all these things that you want to do and all these things that you've got planned. And then it was just like, I don't feel hungover. I just feel a little bit shit or a little bit tired. And you know that feeling of it's just feeling 5 out of 10. My skin. So my skin, you know, I was in my early 40s when I finally decided to stop, but I was noticing spots along the jawline, which is a sign of liver dysfunction. My skin was quite dry. I needed tons of makeup. Now I just hardly ever wear makeup because I just don't need it. I was putting on weight, and you know, the flip side was I was having my kale smoothies, I was taking my supplements, I was going to the gym, I was running half marathons, but then I was drinking, and then quite often for me, when I had a few drinks, I then wanted a cigarette. So I was drinking and smoking and kind of lived this contradictory lifestyle of exercise and fitness and smoothies and supplements, and then alcohol on the other side. And it just didn't really sit well with me. And so I've made that decision to quit. And the changes, like some of the changes have been really surprising. My mental health, like my self-talk, all of that just changed so much. Because when you wake most mornings, not every morning, so I didn't drink every day, but when you wake and you're just feeling a bit meh,
Wow. Well, yeah.
you know, your self-talk is just a bit meh. You're not like, great one, Danny. It's another great day ahead. What are we going to smash out of the park today? You just wake up going, right, okay, need to have a coffee to get me going. Need to, you know, like adjust. Whereas now my self-talk is so positive, I feel so motivated, I've got so much drive, I've got so much energy. In that first 3 months of removing alcohol, I was running my own recruitment business. I made more money in 3 months than I'd made the entire year the year before, because I was motivated, right? There was no slacking off. I was driven, I was motivated, I was clear-headed, I was feeling confident, I was feeling positive. Obviously, weight loss, because when you're not drinking a bottle of wine, or I mean, they say having a bottle of wine with your dinner is like the equivalent of having two Big Macs on the side of your dinner. There's a lot of calories in alcohol and wine. And so I was losing weight, which I'd been really stubborn to lose, despite the fact that I was, you know, taking my supplements and having my kale smoothies and going to the gym. I had this belly fat that I was really struggling with, which has pretty much, you know, I'm in the best shape now that I've ever been in my life, and I'm now 48. My sleep massively improved. So I'm getting, you know, 8 hours solid sleep. I save money. And with that money, I've been able to buy a Peloton. I've bought an infrared sauna in my garden. We've had some incredible holidays because alcohol's expensive, right? And then some of the other things have been my dreams and my perspective of life have got so much bigger because alcohol causes anxiety. There is no, like, that is a categoric physiological response. When we consume alcohol, in response to the alcohol, we produce more of the neurotransmitter cortisol, which is the stress hormone. So people who drink alcohol, even if it's one or two drinks a couple of times a week, they will have a higher baseline of cortisol in their body than people who don't drink at all. So when you're feeling a little bit anxious and a little bit stressed most of the time, you don't back yourself. Your self-belief is not quite as strong. Whereas what I really noticed, and with the thousands of women that I've coached now, is they really grow in confidence. They really grow in self-belief. They start setting goals that might have just been pipe dreams when they were drinking, but they're just like absolutely doing it now. So yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
So if someone else, you know, that sounds so like all of those things, you're like, wow, I want to feel like that every day. If someone was like, you know, listening and watching us now and they want to know maybe how they could take the first steps, what would obviously you can help coach someone, they can, you know, come to you, read your books, all of that to get like the full, you know, the full kind of phases. 'Cause I imagine it's quite difficult. It's not the easiest thing just to one day decide and stop. But what are some, you know, steps they could start taking, especially maybe even in social situations where they think, well, I can't go out for dinner and not have a wine. Like, what are some things you could, tips you could give people?
Yeah. So definitely look at my alcohol-free programs. I do 30-day programs. I do live challenges 4 times a year for women. And then there's a self-paced 30-day program for men and women, which is on my website.
We'll
But
put
some
that
of the
in
tips.
the link in the episode as well for people. Yeah.
Perfect. Because I've got my next 30-day challenge will start on the 1st of October for Sober October. But some of the tips would be, first of all, be honest with how much you drink and why. So just reflect. What are the occasions that I drink? What triggers me to drink? Is it when I'm stressed? Is it when I've had a hard day? Is it because I want a reward? Is it because I have social anxiety and it actually gives me confidence in a social group, which can be the case for a lot of people? So get clear on how much you're drinking and why. Second thing I would say is alcohol-free drinks can be your best friend. I have got so many clients who have swapped to alcohol-free and find that that has been a real game changer. Some of them are really high in sugar and some of them are gross. So you have to be really selective with what you look at. But again, there's some recommendations on my website of some of my favorites, and just start trying them because they, when you're in a social setting, sometimes you don't just want to drink a Coke or a lemonade or a water, and having an alcohol-free drink can be a great way to do it. The third thing would be mix up your social life. Like we get it into our head, oh, the only way to have fun as a grown-up is going out and getting drunk. But I would argue that, like for me now, fun is anything I do for my enjoyment and pleasure. So sometimes that will be going to bed at 9 so I can get up at 5 and go for a sunrise hike with my best mate. Sometimes that will be being in my pajamas at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, watching Dirty Dancing with my daughter and eating popcorn. Like, redefine what fun actually is and change up your social life accordingly so that you're not just spending all your time surrounded by people who are drinking and you're not drinking, because it turns out that's actually really freaking boring when people start getting drunk. And I've
Yeah,
written an
no one
entire
wants to be out
chapter.
past midnight sober, really. There's no need.
Totally, right? Like, my rule is when someone repeats something or they start spitting in my face, then
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
done.
me
I'm like, yeah,
too.
I'm done. But I've written a whole chapter in my book about socializing without booze, but also what to do if your partner still drinks, because it can be really tricky if you make that decision. I'm going to take a break. Alcohol's really not impacting me, but your partner is still drinking, and maybe you've been drinking buddies together. That can be a wee bit challenging, and it was certainly the case for me. So I've written an entire chapter in my book on that as well.
No, perfect. I think it's all about finding, I guess, your own why and reassessing, like you say, like even how is alcohol affecting your relationships with people or your work and finding a reason that motivates you to want to stop drinking. So then when people do question or force you, it's like, no, I just don't want, like you have the choice in the end.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to say there as well is I encourage everyone to take 30 days off booze. Because even if you think, like most people say to me, oh, I don't drink that much that it affects me. But they've been drinking at that level for so many years that they don't actually know how they feel without alcohol in their system for a long stretch of time. And we know that even one or two drinks completely disrupts your sleep. So even if you don't feel hungover the next day, you won't have had solid restorative sleep because, and it also impacts your ability to train, your resting heart rate, like all of those things. So I always say to everyone, if you don't try, you don't know. But take a break. And then you've actually got valid data for you, your body, and your life. And you can go, because most people go to me, oh my God, like my anxiety's disappeared. I've got so much energy. I'm so much calmer with my kids. I'm so productive at work. I feel happier.
You're
And
like,
it's like,
yes.
yeah, but they didn't ever realize that the alcohol was the part that was actually causing them to not have those things, because they never felt hungover, they never missed days off work, they weren't in bed puking the next day after a night out, which is what we kind of define as being problematic drinking. And because they're not in that category, they don't realize that actually it's having a subtle impact on them. And I would argue that removing it for a period of time actually allows you to see what your full potential is in life.
No, that's great. And I, yeah, definitely think that's very motivating for everyone. And especially the fact that you have a challenge coming up is a good time for everyone to take that 30 days and join you, maybe. They need that little extra help or some assistance. So, yeah, we'll put that link in our bio. Maybe people can think about it, prepare themselves, and take October as a chance to focus on themselves and their own health. But thank you so much for coming on today and giving us that little like snapshot into what you do. So, yeah, I think the culture is slowly changing in Australia and people are a lot more open to it. So, it's great to see that there's people out there that, you know, you can help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've got to move away from that stigma of believing that the only people that take a break from alcohol are people that have a problem with alcohol. Like anyone can take a break. You have full permission at any point in your
Yeah.
life to just go, right, I want to see how I feel without it.
Definitely. No, thank you so much. I totally agree. Well, it's great to chat to you, and hopefully, we get to talk in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.